please be seated. I promised you a few weeks ago that you'd get a thrilling sermon on 1 Corinthians, the first bit of it. But while I was doing my studying yesterday, I found this beautiful graphic that talks about the rest of 1 Corinthians. So I decided I would share it with you. You want some extra ones? So this is by way of a little bit of introduction to say that we've had the first three chapters. So we've worked our way in 5 weeks through the first three chapters, skipping very little, except that we also had the presentation of the Lord that skipped part of it. But as you can see, it goes on for 16 chapters. Corinth is a port city. It was a wealthy center. And one of the great things about it was that they had Greek, Roman, and Oriental people. One of the not so great parts about it is they had a temple to Aphrodite with about 1,000 prostitutes. In fact, it was of great notoriety that there was this term called Corinthia Zomaia, that's Greek, which is translated to act like a Corinthian, meaning to practice fornication. Corinth was noted to be very sinful. So Paul hears about things that are going on in Corinth. He gets a letter. He writes a letter to the church, which has been lost. He gets a reply back to that letter, describing more of what's going on. And he writes what we call the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians, which is actually the second letter of Paul to the Corinthians. We just lost the first one. So the second one is the third one, the first one is the second one, and the first one is missing. You get all that? Craziness, right? Anyway, this just describes what's basically going on. And oh, that's right, one more thing. Paul wrote this letter, and he talks about division in the church, which we've been talking a lot about in our Sunday Bible study, because in a way, every denomination is a division in the church. And it keeps coming up, you know, what is different? Why do we have to be different? You know, what sets the Catholics apart from the Episcopalians, apart from the United Methodists? Why are the United Methodists melting down when we chose to do it 10 years ago? The second thing that the letter addresses is immorality, and you can see that on your thing. And then the third thing are some questions that the Corinthians had written to him, and they were about marriage, food, worship, and resurrection. And this is called one of Paul's pastoral letters. So the very first part, which we, on the first day, he does a great thing, which is says, "Hi, how you doing? I love you," and I love Paul's wording. "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." Very simple introduction. And then he starts talking about divisions in the church. I don't remember the exact weeks which was which, but we did talk about it a little bit one day. This part that we got today was kind of the conclusion of that divisions in the church. You know, who is Paul? Who is Apollos? Why are we talking about that? What I wanted to emphasize today, though, is that there are, and I apologize, the Sunday school class got a little bit of this before, but in chapter 1, verse 18, he says, "For the message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." I think that is like the introductory statement to Paul's message to everybody. And this is probably a good concluding statement. It's chapter 2, verse 2. No, I'll start with verse 1. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come proclaiming the mystery of God to you in lofty words or wisdom. So he's starting to say, what I did not do. I didn't come with a rhetorical argument about God. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's his message. That's probably the key verse to 1 Corinthians. And it's all about Paul saying that the church and your religiosity has nothing to do with the preacher or the teacher that you're following. It's all about God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, right? And then, so I told you how much I love the message, right? And I told you I was going to try to give you a little bit more about that. So here it is, verses 6 through 10. We, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground. But it's not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. Going back to Deuteronomy, right? What God determined as the way to bring out his best in us long before we arrived on the scene. The experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. And then he quotes scripture, which I actually want to use the New Revised Version. What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love him. Do we know that song? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, what God has ready for those who love him. Spirit of God. Do we know that? We're going to learn this one. It's good. Do you recognize it at all? I'm looking at you as a musician. No? Okay. We got some work to do, son. It's a good one. I thought that was in our book. Okay. I'm almost done. And I met today... I met on Thursday. Did I take Friday off? No. Yeah. I met on Friday morning with Andy Reid. He came in. He's going to work on that backsplash. And I'm like, yay, amen, hallelujah, brother. Hit it. But I was thinking about how, you all know that Andy Reid is a York County building inspector.
Yes.
Okay, good. In the message, Eugene Peterson puts it this way, or to put it another way, you are God's house. So we heard those words, right? God's building. I found it weird until I read the message. You are God's house. Using the gift God made me as a good architect, I designed the blueprints. Apollos is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes on the job take care to build on the foundation. There's an exclamation point there. Remember, there is only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. That's what I was thinking about, Andy. How many times have you ever done a construction job and they come in and say that 2x4 is off by half an inch? They do that. It's just like he says. You won't get by with a thing, without a thing. When he came in here, he found an electrical box up in the ceiling, and I had to move it so you could see where it was. You can't have a junction that's hidden behind anything. The junction has to be accessible. If your work passes inspection, fine. But if it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. What do we call that, people? Grace. So even in our judgment, there is grace. Oh, yes. You realize, don't you, that you are the temple of God, and God himself is present in you. God himself is present in us. No one will get by with vandalizing God's temple. You can be sure of that. God's temple is sacred, and you, remember, are the temple. So my amen for this day is you are sacred. Amen.
Yeah.